Greetings and salutations. It's August 19th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 46 of Nitro Beard Free to Play. I'm Brian Belita, and I am wonderful. I'm joined by Imran Khan.
I don't know what you guys said to my robot girlfriend last week, but she was pissed.
Was she mad? We're super sorry about that.
She was like, everyone there is either great or terrible. And I'm like, honey, you have to stop saying things in binary.
Mark Bradshaw.
I'd just like to give a shout out to the fine people at Turtle Beach. Turtle Beach, they kick puppies. They hate puppies and children and kittens and all the wonderful things in life. And I don't care if like I get sued for libel. I hate Turtle Beach. You guys, you stole $80 from me.
Yeah. And so that you don't get sued for libel, tell people what actually happened.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I bought like a nice headset like last year, I guess. It's like one that like works for like Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and the PC because of some bullshit where you had to have a special headset that works on all three despite all three of them using the exact same interface.
Right? They use different ones. Yeah. But at least 360 and PS3 do.
Well, I mean they all have the same connections. It's but I guess they have different protocols or whatever. Yeah. So anyway, I spend money on this and it works for a year, and then I'm taking off my headset after the podcast yesterday, and the left ear cup the right ear cup that has like both the microphone as well as the enormously heavy cord that goes down to the PC had just snapped completely off.
Now, are we talking like a monster cable lever level cord weight?
Yeah, it's pretty fucking strong. It was like all the data just goes right through that. And like also the big control box, which weighs like, I don't know, a quarter of a pound, also sits in the middle of this rope of a cord. And all that cord is going through a tiny little plastic swivel that holds the cup in place. And of course it just, after a while, hey, look, engineering says that plastic wears out. Turtle Beach doesn't give a shit.
I mean, and you're not using this thing as like a grappling hook or jump rope or rope climbs in the middle of the day.
Not often, anyway. But no, it's like my PC sits right next to my desk. I take off the headset. I put this headset on top of the PC. That's it. It's not like throwing around or some shit.
You've learned a thing that I learned a couple of years ago, and this is important for everyone to know, that if something is supposed to do three things that are not supposed to be done together, then that thing is going to break.
Yeah,
like use it as a backup, not your primary.
But it's crazy that you need three separate things to do one thing. It's crazy that the ideal solution is to have different headsets for all three of your devices. Yeah. That is stupid. Now, of course, the real solution is like drop like $160 on the wireless headset and not worry about cores at all.
But wireless everything in the future.
See, what my solution is for 360, I just use the headset that came with the system, which is cheap and chintzy, but it works. For the PC, I just have this expensive ass mic I bought. And for PS3, I don't talk.
There's no reason to.
For the PS3, I had the, I guess I bought the PlayStation Eye at some point, or maybe did I get it with something?
It just showed up one day. It was just there.
It was just there. No, I'm trying to remember what I got it. What I'm trying to remember what I got it with or for.
Was it like the card game?
No, I remember that was one of the things that maybe I thought about. But
because you're a crazy person, you would have done that.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm absolutely. I cannot remember what I got it with.
I'm pretty sure it was for that creepy ass pet thing.
Yeah, is it a pet thing?
Oh yeah, that's totally what I wanted it for. No man, I can't remember. I don't. I have no recollection. Why I got it. But I have it. I remember I used it for. So that was my mic. And I think the only time I ever used it was for Burnout Paradise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and maybe Spy on Your Wife.
Maybe Metal Gear Online. And then also,
like, if I'm gonna, you know, talk to someone on PS3, it's probably not gonna be someone random, and I'll just use Skype.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I don't know. In my case, my computer wasn't near like my TV and my PS3 and stuff. So Tyler O'Clue and I, old Beardcast alumni, we would just use like the PlayStation 3 video chat program while we were playing Hotshots Golf on our PSPs with each other. Yeah, so it was pretty goofy, but fun times were had.
You know, it wasn't just like using it for a microphone. It's like I have lousy hearing. I've always had bad hearing. It's like I would prefer to have everything go through the headphones if possible. And I live in an apartment. I would prefer like not to have to like blast like
Yeah, you've got two roommates, right?
Yeah, I would prefer not to have to blast like sound through everywhere, especially when I'm doing stupid shit like 2 a.m. So I just want like one headphone set for everything, and apparently that's too much to ask of mid-2000s technology.
I don't know, Bluetooth, excuse me, for everything. You know, similar to like you can take your phone and you go into your car and it connects to the car, and I don't know, something like that would be an ideal solution, I suppose.
So I had this weird thing, like, I don't know if you guys use Netflix on your consoles, but the sound mixing is really kind of shitty a lot of the times. Ooh. Like, TV series are super low volume, and you got to turn it up to way over where your TV volume should be.
Yeah, but they like, the dialogue channel is, like, set enormously low, and, like, the sound effects and music is super
high. Do you have a surround sound system?
I do not. I just go through TV
speakers. So it's probably really shitty down mix, then.
Yeah. So this is normally fine. Except for the times when, say, I'm turning on my Wii U and playing through... Today was DuckTales. I was playing a little bit of that on the controller. Then I was like, okay, I'm alone in the house. I'm just going to turn on through the TV. And, turn it on, and you sound blasts me in the face.
Right, you had been watching Law & Order or something like that, right? And you pumped it all the way up, and then you turn on your Wii U.
So you
and
can
it's
hear
like,
shit.
It was at 40 when it should normally be at, like, 12.
Yeah. Man, what does it go up to?
60, 70?
Weird.
Yeah. I've noticed, like, online streaming, like, video sounds have the same issue where, like, you know, they have, like, the five little bars for audio, and you think, like, one is, like, kind of loud and two is a little bit louder, but no, there's, like, 150 decibel difference between one bar and the next.
It's true. Although I think those, if you actually kind of click and drag it, there is actually, like, an in-between if you, you know, it just shows it as five separate bars. But I don't know what's up with my computer. Like, I have my audio, like, you know, my audio level in Windows is always set to like 20. And that's normal for all my regular stuff. But like, if I boot up a game, I have to bring it down to 3 to bring it to audible level. I don't know what is up with, it's weird. So.
All I know is that at work, I have to keep my volume in Windows almost all the way up all the time or else nothing's audible.
Weird. That's so weird. That shouldn't be a thing that happens. All right. And that, of course, is Matt Pierce.
Hello.
Introduced him. Hi, Matt.
What I learned a long time ago about headphones is that if it has a cord, the cord will break.
I bought a pair of Sennheiser headphones. Just headphones. No mic, because I have my mic separate. And I really like them. And they haven't broken yet. I mean,
do they have like a nice cloth cord to them?
No, they don't. My mouse does though. But this pair of headphones does have like the little, like spined cone at the joint of the cord. I don't know. Is there a name for that thing?
No, not really.
There should be a name for the thing. The thing that Apple doesn't put on any of their cords.
It's
why that, Apple cords always just break apart.
It reinforces the.
Yes, it reinforces the connection.
In theory, that all that does is it prevents the cord from
twisting,
being bent too sharply,
right,
which will break the cable inside, which is a good thing. But if the weld or if the soldering isn't good in the first place, it's going to separate internally anyway.
It's still going to happen. It's like I run through like a pair of like ear candy earbuds like once every like month or 2 months.
Just invest in a pair of like good headphones.
Yeah,
I did.
Your candies are pretty good. Yeah.
The only headphones I really use anymore are the Zune Premium Edition Version 2, which you can't find anymore. So if I lose them, which happens surprisingly often, I have to spend the $20 buying new ones.
Yeah, my Zune headphones broke when I closed the door and caught one of the earbuds in it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But they're amazing headphones, and they're like, anything else I use just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Yeah, like the first time, I have a friend who's an audiophile, and I had just used, like, you know, regular headphones or just speakers, just nothing that great. And, like, I bought this pair of Sennheisers, and I put them on, and I sat down and played a game, and I was just thinking, what have I been missing on my whole life?
and then your friend made you put like wooden knobs on all of your AV equipment,
right?
Like,
exactly.
Sound.
Yeah. Well, funny story. I actually when I built my new computer that I have right now, I guess it was new 3 years ago, maybe. Yeah, 3 years ago, I think. I bought a sound card, but I neglected to realize that I didn't have an extra slot to put a sound card in. Because I only had like one slot and I needed it for, I don't remember what for, but, yeah. I've got a spare sound card that, I don't know.
I think the funny part of this story was that as of recently as like 2 or 3 years ago, you had bought a sound card.
I suppose if you're like a really big audiophile, a sound card makes sense.
Well, I wanted
if you were a really big audiophile, you'd get one of the outboard boxes.
Right.
So that you'd have no EM interference.
Exactly, Matt. You know.
Crazy people. Yeah. Bullshit.
So basically, is it something like the PlayStation 1, like a very specific model of that, has like the best audio output for CDs?
Yes, because they just took it out of their high-end stereos. Like they just reused the parts from the high-end stereos instead of reinventing.
I remember playing music on my PlayStation 1.
It didn't matter.
They did like once or twice. Ever.
Like
it had the best CD decoding you could get, like because it came from a Sony stereo, but it still outputted over analog, so it didn't matter anyway.
I remember being super amazed by the fact that I could take my Jet Moto 2 CD and you know that I played a game on the PlayStation 1 and just like toss it into a CD player and listen to the
Redbook audio
music or just take out Ridge Racer and put in better music.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Well, yeah,
if you wanted
like
to
finish loading.
Right.
I distinctly remember back in that period when I first got like a Sega CD being amazed at like the sound visualizer. And also it was like the only way to like play CDs at that point in time for me.
Do you ever play Lords of Thunder?
Oh hell yeah, that was amazing. That was beautiful.
Oh my god.
Lords of Thunder is not ringing any bells.
Yeah, it's a side scrolling shmup, but
okay.
It just had this incredibly rocking guitars music.
Yeah. That's awesome. Have any of you guys, please tell me some of you have played Jets and Guns.
Yeah.
Okay,
good. It's been years, though.
Yeah. That's I don't know. That's up there with, like, Tyrion and Ikaruga is one of my favorite shoot-em-ups of all time. And yeah, it's got a fucking rad soundtrack.
Imagine music similar to that, but the whole game kind of has, like, it's like a heavy metal album cover. It really is. It's like you're flying through these Greek columns and you have like Valkyries and stuff.
Right, right.
Another great one, it was Robo Alista. It was more like a techno soundtrack, but it was around the exact same period. Because, you know, when things came out on CD, they still basically had like the same graphics and gameplay as like the cart versions. So the only thing you could do was put just a fucking beautiful soundtrack.
Or really, really shitty FMV.
Or shitty FMV. And
yay,
hopefully you got
FMV.
Or you do what Mickey Mania did and just put like the levels nobody wants to play there and package it as like the definitive version.
Is Mickey Mania anything like WrestleMania?
No.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
Good.
But with Mickey.
Yes. Has there been a good Disney themed wrestling game? No.
Yeah, Mickey Mania.
Mickey Mania, right. Okay. I guess Disney Infinity is a thing now.
Which I kind of want, but I kind of don't want to pay money for.
Right.
I don't want it because I haven't seen anything that tells me what kind of game it is. It's just
apparently like 4 or 5 distinct like XBLA sized games.
Oh,
and then like okay, so there's a racing game where you can play as anybody,
and then there's like an action RPG hack and slash type thing too, I presume.
Yeah. So does like every like character have like their own data for each of these games, or like if you buy like I don't know like Woody, you're stuck with one game.
No, yeah, I think certain characters or certain worlds have
overlap
default characters, but I think you can take anybody into anywhere.
They just might not be as good.
Yeah, like I forget the example they use, but like you can't like you can Monsters Inc. characters do better in the Monsters Inc. world, but if you could actually play around there as Jack Sparrow if you wanted to.
Right. This is a
I don't know. It seems weird, but like I like the idea of you being able to share levels across everything. Like every version of the game pulls into one server.
I think that's a terrific idea, but just like being forced to carry around these toys in order to operate in this shit, it's like the first time you move, you're gonna say this is stupid and just get rid of it.
Do you need the toys though, or do you just register the character with your game once?
I thought it was like a Skylanders thing where you had like set the guy on your portal or whatever.
To use them.
I actually have no idea.
I imagine there would be a way to like store it, because I mean it's just data. I have to imagine there's a way you can just like store.
But that data has to be activated by a key.
Yeah.
And also there's no reason they couldn't do this with cards. It's just that people want toys, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it's children want toys. They want to steal toys to children.
And some adults.
Yeah.
But there's some novelty there.
Yeah. Well, it's. I mean, there are a lot of people kind of exploring that idea, like Jordan Mechner, who you know they just wrapped up and launched Shadowrun. And his next idea that I guess he's been tossing around for a while is a a kind of a tabletop game, a board game that's supplemented by an iPad app. And there's like this stylus, and you can, tap a physical character. And once you tap that character, it sends data to the iPad and it pulls up, like, okay, his move is this, his attack is this. So there are a lot of people. I mean, even back to, we were just talking before, or yeah, about the PlayStation Eye, whatever, that Eye of the Beholder. No, is that what it
It
was
was
called?
PlayStation Eye. It was PlayStation
No,
Eye.
but the game, the card game for it.
I think it was something like that, yeah.
Something.
I mean,
So
it's
did
a
I?
similar
I'm
idea.
going to interrupt you here,
Yeah.
Brian, because I remembered a dream I had about a board game that now I don't, not sure if I remember all the details, but I hope this is the actual complete concept.
Okay.
That it's just like a board game that you hook into like a sink with like a hose,
Okay.
and then you just spin it around, and the person who gets like it sprays people as you spin it, and then the person who gets the least wet wins.
It's
How do
weirdly
you
erotic.
measure wetness?
I
Like
don't know.
weight, do
Oh,
you
you
like
can do
measure
it.
your weight before
Maybe
and
it has a
after?
PlayStation Eye in it. Who
Right,
knows?
really a pervert place. Oh man, yeah, look at it. Imran's the most wet. He wins.
So not to.
I hope it actually does. It does that voice and like.
Right. Look like you win. You're the most wet.
Oh God. So to bring this back to a more dry place, it was actually called Eye of Judgment.
I have judgment.
That was
Thank
it.
you. Yes. Yeah.
And you could totally fool that game by just drawing some triangles on some stock cardboard, and because that's
Well,
all
yeah.
it did.
Well, I mean, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I think the idea of like AR that you can fool is a good idea as long as it's not the fundamental concept of competition.
Well, the in a two-player game, that would be, that would be like playing Magic with your friends if you were all allowed to draw your own cards.
I thought it was cool with the 3DS stuff where people like they made a block size AR card and just put like a giant me in the middle of Tokyo.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Speaking of kids that would do that, back when Magic was first getting big and first came to like the area that I grew up in, Hickory, North Carolina, you would run into kids who would do that. Like you just play a game against a kid, and a kid would throw out like just a card, and on it would be written Black Lotus.
Oh
And
yeah.
you
Everybody had
couldn't.
that, because everyone's like, well, this is my stand-in for my Black Lotus because it's too valuable to play with.
Right.
No, you don't own one. I don't believe you.
Don't want
Yeah, well, this
anyone to
kid was
deal with it.
eight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I tell the kid, this is like, and you couldn't tell anything because it's a fucking 8-year-old kid. You can't tell him why he's doing this
Yeah.
wrong because his
Yeah.
mom in there and like
You
kick your
should
ass.
just like challenge him to a rematch and like play a card where you just wrote Atom Bomb on it.
Yeah.
Oh, you and everyone you love is dead.
Oh, you
Sorry.
didn't get that expansion, did you? Yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah, I win. Yeah.
See, I would use that just to annoy people. Like, I just bring out just giant printed versions of cards just to play on the table.
Right, like
Like, I'm sorry you don't have room, but these are my stand-ins.
a I'm sorry, it's on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. It's all I can
I
print it on, okay? That would be pretty good.
got the card
But
protectors for them and everything. They're huge.
it's just a binder.
No, the best era of Magic was when nobody knew the rules very well. Like everybody had a loose idea of the rules.
Right.
Like there's a rule in Magic where you can only have up to four of any one card.
Well,
Right, in your deck, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
like
a
those are in the
super.
official rules,
Yeah,
but
that's not official, but yeah, for tournament game side, you have to do that. And most everybody pays attention to tournament rules.
yeah.
Luckily,
I think
my
it's
friends
funny that like
had
there's.
plague rat decks where you had
Oh
30
God,
mana, 30 plague rats.
yeah.
like the first constructed deck in my area was mine, and it was nothing but like plains and mountains and healing salve, which heals like three damage to you, and lightning bolts, which deals three damage to another guy.
Yeah.
And no one could really do anything to this deck
Well,
because they had like 150 cards in their deck.
I think it's funny that with a lot of games like this, like there's like the regular rules, which I guess are kind of a loose amorphous thing and they change. And then there's like tournament rules. And I guess that happens with a lot of things with like Super Smash Brothers, whatever, Fox only, no items.
I think anything with competition is going to get people like weirdly, stupidly serious about it.
Yeah.
It will, but like in the case of Magic, like Magic was developed before they had any idea what they were doing with like card games, so they
Yeah.
didn't have rules. Like if they were like writing the official rules to Magic, they would have written all the tournament rules into the real rules. So they had to like the tournament rules were the only non-insane way to play that game. Otherwise, like some dude destroys drops out like 200 card deck, and the game takes forever.
Whatever. Oh, God.
Remember when I was in high school, I saw these two guys playing Duel Masters, which is the Yu-Gi-Oh
Yeah,
thing.
right.
Like they were playing it on a bench, and this like kind of cute girl was like there with two TI-83 calculators in her hands, to do the damage or damage calculation.
Oh, you have never been retracted to a woman in your life.
Well, I felt bad for her because I was like, I wonder if it's just like her boyfriend that maybe is a nice guy aside from this is like forcing her to
so
get a scorecard.
Hey, baby, can you do something, right?
Hey, baby, can you dual TI-83 calculators and keep track of the score for me while I play Yu-Gi-Oh?
Who knows? Maybe she saw like the potential in this child and just decided, well, I have to sit there and like and teach him. And the only way to do this is like do all the math because otherwise he sucks. I got to coach this guy up because this is how he's going. Like,
so you know what you're saying? He's like the Rocky of Duel Masters now.
Yeah. Like she showed up into like just showed up at his door with like a pair of TI-85 calculators. Said, "Look, this is what
you're dressed in like all sweats. It's 4 in the morning. She wakes him up. Drink these eggs.
Oh God, what was that movie where it was Sly Stallone? He's playing a boxer, not Rocky. I think it was Sly Stallone. It was a docudrama, or not docudrama. It was based on a real life story.
Rocky.
He was a really shitty boxer.
Rocky.
Or not a really. He was a really shitty guy, and he like threw his girlfriend around.
There was
what?
I don't know. Get.
Carded. I don't think you're thinking. Are you not thinking
it's
like
not,
Mickey?
It's
Rourke?
Not thinking of Rocky. Oh, no, wait, maybe. Wait.
Are you thinking like Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler?
No, it's an older movie. Black and white. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you're thinking of Raging Bull.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't Sylvester Stallone. It was like somebody else.
Okay.
Because you were just.
But now I'm just picturing like the part where he's making out with his girlfriend, but since he can't, you know, have sex while he's training for a fight, he just immediately gets up and like pours a bucket of ice down his pants.
It was Robert.
So
Robert
now I'm thinking of that like with the Duel Masters thing.
Right.
I can't do this. I have a big tournament tomorrow.
Ice down the pants. Yeah. But speaking of
ice down
board games and ice down your pants and different ways, board games, digital things mixing. Did you see that, you know, Wildstar, that MMO that's coming out?
Yeah. Didn't it get delayed?
It might have, but I guess you can buy time using in-game currency, which I think is something that EVE is already doing. Yeah. I don't know if other MMOs are, but I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know what the conversion rate is. But
I really like the art style to Wildstar.
So do I. It looks like a neat, and I don't know. They're putting a lot into it. I think I said it a while ago. But they, to me, they're making the MMO fun again in my mind.
Well, that I don't know about. That's a tall tale for me.
Yeah.
Much. I don't know.
Well, too. I mean, the last MMO I played was City Heroes, and I played that from like launch to until it died. And that was
here's the problem with MMOs is that even if I might find it fun, I'm not going to put the money down to find out.
Yeah.
And the second it goes free to play, it's going to change so dramatically that I'm likely not going to put that much time into it.
Right, it'll turn you off of it, and so you don't want to just lose that. Yeah.
If I could play psychologist for a moment, I would say like the first the time like when MMOs were fun was the first time you played an MMO.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I played City Heroes. I played a bit of DC Universe Online once it went free to play, just because it was a kind of a means to an end to play games with a friend that, you know, I don't get to see that often. What else did I?
I mean, I look at Final Fantasy 14 and I'm like, that looks kind of cool. I would probably play that, but I'm not going to put down $15 a month plus however much it costs to buy the base game.
Yeah, well, which is hilarious because back when City Heroes came out and I was in college, I couldn't, you know, I probably shouldn't have been affording $15 a month. And now that I probably can afford it, I'm just like,
I can totally afford it. It just, there's some part of me that's like, wow, this is a huge ripoff. I just want to buy a game.
Yeah.
And that's like
the deal with like WoW, because I mean I played like EverQuest, I played like Dark Age of Camelot, I played City of Heroes, I played WoW. Like these are fine games. I mean, like the like enjoyment of like any of those games is every bit as legit as enjoyment of the most hardcore game you can imagine for consoles. It's every bit as legitimate as enjoying like a Mikami game. The thing is, like, you can either enjoy World of Warcraft or do anything else. Like if you're gonna like get deep into World of Warcraft, that's all you do.
It's pretty much the last game you ever own.
Yeah. It's the only thing I'm gonna be doing for that
period. Where MMOs lose me is the gather X of Y.
Yeah.
Thing. Like and that's the problem, like every MMO was like that. There's none that aren't.
Yeah. And that's
10 boar hides.
All those games like I just mentioned, with the exception of Ultima Online, because it was like it was like a weird outlier. They all basically play the same. They all basically have the same quest that you're building up a meter and like to build up to gain the access to build up a different meter later on.
Yeah.
That's and that right. No one has ever like ventured out of that area.
That's actually why I like PSO2, because it was go here and shoot that thing, which is at least different enough that I thought it was fun. And it's not really an MMORPG, so maybe it doesn't compare, but it was a fun take on that online thing. And if it were just another World of Warcraft, then I would have been bored by it immediately.
Well, and I don't know. I guess the allure of the MMO is probably the character progression. And, yeah. and the reason you play it for so long is in part because it takes so long to level that character.
Yeah,
and other than that, like I don't
hear people say
that
like
I'm running around with a bunch of strangers. Like that doesn't change my experience of the game. I mean, yeah, maybe I may see some funny guy who's you know dressed like a goofy superhero and I giggle, but then I just want to go on and do my stuff. And yes, maybe I want to play with friends, but I could, you know, ultimately get that same experience from playing like Diablo 3 and leveling up my character or something, and I'm not paying a recurring fee on that. And I understand they're making updates and stuff and they're adding stuff, but I don't know what most developers do with an MMO couldn't be done with a single player game. Right, exactly. I don't know if it's a choice of doing it for the money or...
When people say the words like WoW starts at level 60, they cannot possibly imagine how much that turns me off from ever playing that game.
Well, it's like if I were to like say why people play it, it's like MMOs were the prototypical casual game. Because
stereotypical?
Yes. Well, yeah. But no, not prototypical, because they basically require no skill to play. You're looking at like cooldowns, and you're hitting a button, and you're making things happen. There's no like combos involved. So if you're a housewife, or like, of course, I don't mean to say it was sex, but like if you're like a college student, or you don't play games very often, if you're that group, the group that they're trying to sell casual games to right now, you would play an MMO, and you could like hang out with your friends and do all these things. Which now you hang out on Facebook and do these things. Yeah. It's the exact same thing, but it like in a different interface.
Except it costs money.
Yeah, right. And it would cost money. But,
well, WoW costs money.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are still...
Wait, hold on. Before we move forward, what the fuck is Candy Crush, and why do I keep getting invited?
I don't know either.
I have Candy Crush. Okay, I'm not one of the people that like do this, but yeah, I play Candy Crush like occasionally.
Is it as terrible as I assume it is because it's on Facebook?
It's not bad. It's a match three sort of thing. It's more, you know, stuff doesn't drop from the... it's like Bejeweled, but with more combos to it. And it's basically it.
Because
like,
I remember I went to get my hair cut once, and I was sitting there, and this one guy was there on his, you know, on his iPhone or on his phone. And another guy walked in and kind of sat, you know, a seat or two away from him, looked over, and they looked at each other and like gave this little head nod, and he was like, Candy Crush? And the guy was like, yeah, Candy Crush. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Do you live in a Verizon commercial? What's
no, I mean, I went to a Sports Clips just because, yeah, that's where I got my hair cut.
Yeah, so
throw on Sports Clips.
The only things you need to know about Candy Crush is, one, it's one of the first like big popular Facebook games that uses the pay to clear your timer thing. Mm-hmm. Like when you lose, you have to wait for a timer to expire so you can play again.
Yeah.
So there's all these people who are like, oh, I'm so addicted to Candy Crush, but I have to wait.
Yeah.
So like it's one of the first Facebook games to really hit it big with that model.
Yeah.
The second thing
like,
is,
oh, thank God I can take a break.
It just kind of got chatted up and tweeted by a couple of like popular people.
Right, it's the angry bird syndrome.
Yeah. So now that it's hit like a critical mass.
I feel like we're maybe 10 years away from legislation of free-to-play stuff.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because we're inching on this place where it's like, wow, that's...
it's scummy.
I don't know what you guys are doing.
It's scummy. I haven't checked it out, but been seeing a lot of things about Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Yeah, I watched a quick look today, and it's kind of scummy in that like when you get to the end of a world, they make you go back and you know finish challenges to get enough stars to get through the world. But
mirror mode.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of bad, but I can kind of see what you're doing, or pay $5 to go through. But it's a thing that's like you can buy coins. And they'll show you like best deal.
Yeah, I saw that like best value.
And
yeah,
but they're not actually the best value.
No, it was like $2 for five, $4 for 10, and then like
Right.
$5. I don't remember what it was. It was weird.
I mean, it's a matter of cents for the difference, but over time, those cents add up to EA.
Yeah.
And they're probably making more profit being that deceptive about it than it matters on like a micro scale.
Being deceptive to people who can't do simple multiplication.
Yeah. Which is probably kids and dumb people.
Well, that's exactly the sort of thing that's going to result in like Congress asking questions later on.
Right. Japan's already blood-sucking people, and they didn't do it tight enough. So people are getting around it. So I think America's probably going to do it in the next decade or so. I feel like maybe it's probably necessary.
Yeah, it probably needs to happen because you can't trust a company like EA to like be on the client side for this.
I mean, Capcom had a free-to-play Smurf game for the iOS that had a $300 transaction that did not require, at the time, authorization. So somebody could just hit the button and it would just buy.
Yeah, I remember reading that story about some kid that charged like $6,000 worth of in-app purchases to his parents' cell phone.
Yeah, because even though you could, you can lock the app store so that you need a password to buy an app, once you have the app on your phone, you can make purchases without a password.
Yeah, or if you put in the password recently, like say you just bought the app,
before locking,
it's not going to ask
phone.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this is the sort of thing like Jack Thompson, if he were to actually advocate, probably it would like be a benefit to humanity instead of like being crazy and
Jack Thompson, come back, come back, come back. Be our free to play white knight.
I do know that it makes me way less excited for Peggle 2, seeing what they've done with Plants vs Zombies.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, maybe I'll download it and see if it's actually that bad, but it looks pretty bad.
It does look pretty bad. And in
EA
your face.
EA ruins everything it touches.
So I got to say, of all the things, like, I know people don't love Windows Phone, but, like, the whole industry has to look at Windows Phone right now and copy Kids Corner. Because that is, like, required at this point.
That's cool. I know there's a way you can turn that on like iPhone. I don't know if it's, I don't know what exactly what Kids Corner is, but I know there's a thing you can turn on so you can lock, you know, going to certain sites and in-app purchases and buying things.
Kids Corner on Windows Phone basically brings them to a different app launcher, which only has a couple of apps, like whatever you allow your kids to get to, and no ability to access the store, answer calls, send emails. Like, it basically turns off anything the kid could break about your phone.
And the only way
and
you
just
get
gives
out of
them access
to
their games. Yeah.
Yep. See, that does sound like a good idea, but I think Apple's never going to do that because they claim to have this laissez-faire idea about iOS, but I think it's more that they make profit off those in-app purchases, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
speaking of Windows Phone, would Kids Corner have games for Windows Live in it?
Not anymore, I'm sure.
Not anymore.
Thank God.
Games for Windows 5 is going away.
I'm of two minds on this. On one hand, fuck yes, fuck that thing. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I've got a lot of games for Windows Live games, and I'm sure some of them are not going to get fixed.
Let's see, I've got GTA 4 and Dark
Souls. Not going to get fixed.
And Dark Souls.
Not going to get fixed.
Nope.
You don't think Dark Souls get fixed?
If you die in Dark Souls, you...
They never updated the resolution.
Yeah,
you kill games for Windows Live.
So I'm... Okay, but these are Steam games, so I'm sure there's like something in like a subscriber agreement to Steam where they would have to like provide a method to keep playing the game.
I don't think so.
You don't think?
No, I think Steam will stop selling them, and then it's up to you to crack it if you want.
Yeah. Maybe they'll like let
which
you.
Which I'm sure
like,
someone will.
Yeah.
I'm just
about,
happy.
Arkham Asylum. I think that'll get.
Oh patched. Yes.
No, Arkham games are getting patched to Steamworks, as is Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
Well, that's good.
I think that's the only one for me.
Is Capcom stuff getting patched? Because I just want to play Street Fighter 4 again.
I don't know that the older ones are. I know the next one is getting put to Steamworks.
Yeah.
Instead of GFW.
Well, I'm okay with GTA 4, if that loses it because GTA 5 is coming. Although, I don't know, of course, there's no PC date yet. I think I looked and I think July was GTA 4 and then by December there was a PC version.
NVIDIA says it'll come end of the year and I don't know. I mean, they say a lot of things.
That might be pretty soon.
Yeah. But they never got Red Dead eventually. Redemption for PC, did they?
They didn't, but everything else did.
Yeah, that's weird. No, I'm looking forward to GTA 5. That'll be fun.
I thought the online trailer actually intrigued me a little bit. As someone who's been like very meh about GTA 5 so far.
There's going to be so much trolling. Like if you're playing on a random server, there's going to be just so much. It'll be great. It'll be fun.
I just want to play with friends, and I want everyone to get in a party bus, and I want to be able to leave the bus, find a helicopter, and then land on the bus.
Yes.
As happened last time.
You can do that.
Then I'm sold.
Or blow something up in the effort.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the bus blows up eventually. No, anyway.
It basically just looks like Anarchy Party Island. So it should.
Except with like a co-op campaign or something.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because it says something like 700 missions and they showed cutscenes.
Yeah, right. And you can talk to drug dealers and stuff. So that'll be fun. It'll be better than Drive Club or whatever that other one was.
Drive Club is still the funniest game to me. But you know what you could also do if you wanted to have a club where you drive? Make a club where you drive.
No way.
Get some friends together and go driving.
Yeah.
Or the game's online.
A quote-unquote crew.
Yeah, so that's Games for Windows Live. I guess the other thing we wanted to touch on that happened in the last week was the BioWare writer and the whole harassment thing and death threats to their kids, which first off, if you do that kind of thing, fuck you.
Yeah, get fucked.
That too. You can fuck you and also get fucked. That's pretty, yeah, that's fucking awful.
I mean, that's a bad game, but... That nothing warrants death threats.
No,
nothing.
No, yeah. It doesn't. And I have to wonder. And I don't know. I know that the stuff has happened before. I mean, got no doubt that there's been assholes in the video game community, quote unquote, the VGC, that are just vehement jerks and assholes and just potty mouths.
I mean, yeah, I got death threats for a review I put for Spy Fiction, which is a game nobody knows or cares about.
But there are people that love. Except, and
I will never understand that. I mean, there's a certain sort of mentality that there are people who think that you understand that they're being sarcastic. And they have no clue that there are real death threats on the internet. Well, they do, but they think it's funny anyway.
I don't think they understand like the concept of escalation. They think the first thing you just step to is death threats. It's like,
well, like the good way to make fun of BioWare was that thing with the cupcakes where they sent them like red, blue, and green cupcakes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or I mean,
if you wanted to threaten BioWare, just be like, "I'm really frustrated by this game. I'm not buying your next one."
Yeah,
that's an appropriate response.
Yeah, this is.
I will kill you.
And I mean, I'm one or two minds. I wonder depending on the game, of course, because there are some that bring this on more than others, like multiplayer games, anything that has multiplayer deathmatch or competitive, like Call of Duty. Yeah. There's a whole blog dedicated to just awful things that people have said to the Call of Duty developers because they changed the reload time by 0.03 seconds.
Yeah, they've defined their lives by this online multiplayer. And then when it changes, change their identity and they freak out.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, they'll forget about that in half an hour. But for that half an hour, their universe has just collapsed entirely about themselves.
But especially with this recent thing with the death of the kids and the writer leaving, although I know she went to go write a book or something as well, she had been planning on. I don't know. But if they're going to either make the credits a secret thing. You don't know who the developers of the game were, the actual people, which is bad. It's bad because these people deserve credit for the game, but there might be some that don't want that information.
Aside, I am all for reducing the number of people in the credits of video games. Holy fuck.
But not by killing them.
No, but I mean, maybe you don't have to list your entire HR department by name.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not just games that have to face this, right? I mean, games are just coming into the forefront and having to deal with this now. It's like writers would always get like threats from cranks because, you know, something didn't like, or TV shows or directors or whatever. It's just gaming is so tied into the internet that they can just like send this out instantly.
I think they've said like Stephen King has more death threats than any president.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, he's been around longer than presidents. So.
Well, my second thought is accountability.
Sure.
I mean, I don't want to, an example being made is a bad word to say, but if people are actually being held accountable, and one thing that I I know is a big deterrent to this is people going by their real name.
You know, I'm not sure why accountability should be such a bad word.
It shouldn't be.
I don't know. At some point, I feel like it's like the YouTube asking me to use my real name thing all the time. Yeah. It's like, I don't...
Well, no, no,
I'm fine who I am.
And if you look at, like, but they, like, the comments in YouTube and you see all these horrible fucking things that are said.
Yeah, but the real name doesn't stop them. Look at the people who log into comments on news stories with their Facebook.
Yeah.
You'll see, like, Zach Tran, and he's like, right. I hate black people, and, blah, blah,
and
blah,
once
blah.
Those guys get called out on it, you can shame them. It's like, you can...
No, but I think... No one does. They don't give a shit, is the thing.
I think they do. Well, I mean, in some cases, they do.
From personal experience, when the parkour community, if you guys, for anyone who doesn't know what parkour is, it's you've seen it, American Ninja Warrior, there've been some movies, the opening scene to Casino Royale, the James Bond movie had it. It's running and jumping and climbing.
Also the fishing movement. Gymkata.
Yes. Oh my God, that's such a great movie. One of Nick Nolte's greatest roles. And so there's like there's this whole big army. There's two things. There's parkour and there's free running. Free running is flippy, you know, style points. Parkour is efficient utilitarian movement. And there were people saying like, no, this is this, and just arguments as they do on the internet got way out of hand. And so we kind of helping to run this site, AmericanParkour.com. We started this movement to people just to start using their real names to cut down a lot of this just you know swearing and just nasty arguments and. And a lot of people did, and it helped a lot of things. The kind of discussion on the forums was much more civil and calm, because once your real actual name is associated with that post, there's something clicks. And I know, like Imran said, with Facebook and stuff, it doesn't, you know, maybe always work, but I think in some cases it does. But you can't force people to use their real names, and I know there's privacy and some people who, I don't know, witness protection.
I mostly use my real name everywhere, and if I went by Imran, if I went by Shocking Alberto, I don't think it would change how I
wrote. No, because you're one of the good
Sure, ones. Because you're not going to sit there and, like, give, like, death threats or racist screeds. But, I mean, and there are going to be people who, like, will post, like, something horribly racist about Barack Obama, and, like, you call them out on it, and they're proud of it. And there's nothing you can do about those people.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of people, like, you go through and you see, like, Not My President bumper stickers on cars, and there's no anonymity there. You see that person just riding right next to you.
And, and those people you're never going to catch. What you can catch are the people who don't realize that when they compare our president to, and for the sake of argument, among and they don't realize that's actually racist, but you say, look, dude, here's what you're doing. And they say they can look back and say, oh, wait.
Or they make a death threat.
Or they make
I think
a death
you guys
threat.
Are you guys are really being really idealistic and you're underestimating the number of people who are proud of their stupid opinions.
And you can't catch those people, but well, there are going
think,
to be people
I think
that you
this
can.
Does help a little bit with the escalation at least.
Yeah.
You know, people who are going to exaggerate for effect are probably going to reel that back a bit when they see their actual name associated with it. Like, maybe they're not like, oh, I'll kill you awful person. Maybe they'll just back that down.
I mean, and that's just one small thing. I mean, the main overarching to this is accountability. And I don't, you know, I don't know if they find this guy or if they are trying to find whoever made these death threats.
I feel like at the end of the day, we need to teach people, not necessarily teenagers, but people with that teenager mentality about consequences.
Yeah, that's a big issue. Because
and I don't think the name is like the main thrust there, but
you well, like, one small thing, right? Well, yeah. And
like,
there was
that shows
example,
up
there's
like,
some...
like when a prospective employer searches for the name, they'll see this, they'll see these death threats, they'll see these rape threats or these horrible racist comments, and you'll be able to say, listen, we don't want you with this organization because you're a liability threat.
Well, there's this great example. There's somebody who sent a tweet to some famous person saying, like, you know, I hate you, you're an awful piece of shit, probably some racist slurs in there or something. And somebody who followed that person mentioned the, you know, let's say the celebrity that the person was bashing on and said, like, hey, celebrity, I know so-and-so's mom. I'll let her know about this. And like the person immediately sent like an apology saying like, oh, I'm really sorry I said those things. So maybe we just need mothers to be more involved in the gaming community.
Yeah, maybe we just need to get all parents to do vanity searches of their teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, my little cousin, like, I guess he's a sweet kid. I haven't really seen him that much since he turned to teenager. But
and
I remember, like, when
drunk,
he was...
saying that was also an issue.
That was another cousin, but that's a different thing. And he, when he was, like, 13, he started going, like, he'd said something on Facebook, and it was kind of dumb, but whatever. Then, like, his teacher, one of his older teachers posted, like, you know, you shouldn't say that sort of thing, and he starts laying into her.
Wow.
It's like, you're a shitty teacher, and things like that. And I was like, whoa, what?
Jesus.
And I start going at him like, you can't say that sort of thing, like, blah, blah, blah. Then a teacher started hitting me on me on Facebook, and that was weird.
Yeah.
But
oh God.
Hey, no. I think that's a large part of it. It's like the internet, people have no accountability, and
yeah, this coming generation doesn't understand a world without internet.
Yeah. Well, what's worse is like not only do you understand accountability, you don't have like your brother or your cousin there. Like if you were like in real world and like you're a stupid teenager and you mouth off like that, like your brother or your cousin is going to slap you upside the head. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't do that. You're embarrassing me. Go there and apologize to him. Like you can't do the internet, and now you can. And I don't know if that's worse or better, but it is like resetting the world to back before like Prodigy like CDs were handed out.
Yeah. I don't want to be all old man about this, but when I was a kid, if not for those people slapping me in the back of the head and saying, "Hey, speak right, you know, be nicer, be more polite," I don't know that I would.
Yeah, you wouldn't be. You wouldn't because you wouldn't have the incentive to do so.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. If age has anything to do with it, like I said, you know, when we were younger, but you know, the kids these days that are,
I mean,
are possibly behind these, you know, the death threats or a lot of these offensives.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll change when they get, you when can't. They get older.
You're not going to kill, there's going to be a certain subset of people you're never going to catch, but you can hold them accountable for that. And you can make them face the consequences of their action. Even if you can't force them to understand that being a racist is a horrible thing, even they're proud of being a racist, you can punish them for that.
Yeah. Oh, I remember on the day that whole news story broke, I just sent out a, you know, tweet saying like, "Dear game developers, I love you all. Please continue creating things that I enjoy."
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny because like over the past weekend, like I finished Gone Home and I wrote an article about it and I tweeted it to Steve Gaynor, who wrote the game, and he was like, "Wow, that's a lovely article." And that's the kind of like that's the interaction, nice interaction I like with developers. Yeah. Like, I would hate it if they have to all go so deep underground that we can't have that kind of interaction.
And last week, I forget if we mentioned it or not, but there was the whole thing, you know, Anita Sarkeesian, the Feminist Frequency, the TV Tropes and Women in Video Games, sent a tweet to Derek Yu, the developer behind Spelunky, saying, you know, like, "Hey, you know, it's a great game. It's a shame that, you know, you've got this whole damsel in distress thing and big busty animated sprites and stuff." And he was like, "Yeah, you know, I agree with it. It has its issues." And, you know, that was a nice interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I got a message today from Platinum Games community director who was like, "You made a really good thread and we all really liked it." I was like, that's neat. I'm glad that, like, they can just message me if they want to.
Yeah.
Without fear of being like, "Hey." Oh, well, he was saying, actually, that, like, some people did give them death threats over, like, Bayonetta 2.
Jeez. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, what, because it wasn't coming to the console they were going to buy?
Hey.
Yeah.
I was not responsible for that. Number one.
No, that's cool. Yeah, and the whole yeah, and I guess the kind of the rise of the position of a community manager in video game companies has kind of sparked a lot of that.
Yeah, that should not be community manager / shield.
Yeah.
It should be, you know, someone who interacts with the community.
It should be, but you also run into another issue where you have guys like in your like development team, like representing the company, who absolutely should not be representing the company because they had they're exactly the same sort of person but in reverse. It's like they're out there just mouthing off, and you can't tell them not to.
Those assholes that don't know consequences can also sometimes be game developers.
Yeah,
yes.
But let's just all be nicer to each other.
And then you have kind of the middle ground, which is, I'm blanking on the name of the guy. It might be the Wonderful 101 guy, Hideki
Kamiya.
Is he the one who's just like, "Fuck you"?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been nicer since I think Nintendo and Inaba are watching his Twitter.
Yeah.
But I think, like, there was a thing yesterday where Wonderful 101 has been getting, like, some varying scores, and somebody gave it, like, a 3. And so everyone was just bothering him about it, and eventually he just went, "Score, score, 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 shut the fuck up about it. Just play the game and find out for yourself." Yeah. And then after that, he stopped tweeting for about 20 minutes, half an hour, which I think that probably his boss yelled at him.
And wasn't there one where he was like, "Is IGN your god?" or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I really liked is somebody's like, people are giving you low scores because the game is too hard. How does that make you feel?
Good.
And he said, "Honor."
Yeah.
Well, you know, last week we were talking about like, week before last when the Phil Fish thing blew up, and talking about like, you would want to see developers like have personality, and that's the kind of person that developer you'd want. Someone who can interact, who is in on the joke, who can, like, you know, interact in such a way without blowing up.
Yeah.
And still have personality, and that's the important thing. But it's just sad that a lot of developers that you would like to hear more about, that you would like to hear voice their opinions on the industry and like the art of making video games, they can't because of assholes giving rape threats, giving death threats.
Are you claiming that video games are art?
Yeah, kinda. They can.
I'm kidding.
Like Salty Bets, I've seen some stuff on Salty Bets that's totally.
There've been. I saw a negative palette Goku fight a killer whale today.
Yeah, that's art. That's totally art. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Killer Whale won, by the way. I
did.
That killer
it
whale.
Did. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it won.
Bet everything on that killer whale.
So, Microsoft announced this past week that Kinect is no longer necessary for the Xbox One.
And you said that they were like putting in an like a headset now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, they're doing a 180 on pretty much everything but the price, which is. I'm sure the price is going to get its own 180 eventually.
Let's point out some word choice here, though.
Yeah.
Kinect was never strictly necessary on Xbox
One. Actually it was, like, the Xbox... Okay, yeah.
They said it was necessary.
No. See, okay, no, so they said it was required.
At E3, they said the system is built on Kinect and the always online thing. They cannot be taken out at this point juncture. It's impossible. And now both of those things have been taken out. Which means they were fucking lying.
No. They weren't completely lying. Remember, every single one of them is going to need a major day one patch. So yes, they were kind of lying, but they were kind of truthful too in that to take them out would be a massive undertaking. It's just at some point somebody realized it was worth it.
Yeah, that leaving them in is way more harmful than however much like
I feel like
make that patch.
Next week's announcement is going to be like, you know, we're just releasing the 360 again.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, just
we've
like
actually
a
broken it into two boxes, one for connecting to your TV and the other one for playing video games.
We're going to
call
gonna
one
sell
of
you a PS4.
Well, that's got to be the next thing, right? Like, it's that the TV stuff and all that is locked behind gold, so the only thing they can do more is, like, either they're going to drop it $100 or they're going to say... gold is no longer necessary for all these things.
Yeah, just sell me a base unit, like strip out all the licenses for like the TV stuff that I'm never going to use, get rid of the Kinect, and like sell it for the same price as the PlayStation 4. And maybe, I'm not saying I would because I already said I would never ever buy this thing, but maybe at that point I would buy an Xbox One later on.
Here's this weird thing with me and the Xbox One, and I can't think of a good term for this besides this, but before when it was like this crazy Microsoft vision of the future that kind of reminds you of the 80s Apple commercial, mm-hmm. It's like, I kind of wanted it as like a grudge fuck kind of thing. Like, I hate this thing, but maybe it'll be interesting. And now it's not even interesting.
You know what the issue is? They've compromised every single element of this, and now it has no vision.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but I don't think anything about it now.
Yeah,
like
the
PS3 was originally designed, or PS4 was originally designed to work in like what they're going towards. So you know it's going to work.
Yeah,
but the Xbox One just sounds like it's me this horrible hodgepodge.
There's no vision for it. It's like, can you even name what it's supposed to do now? I mean,
I just pictured like a whiteboard at Microsoft Game Studios. It's just like, okay, are always online and a line cross through it. Then indie games, fuck you, line cross through it. Like Kinect, line cross through it. As they just like go further and further closer to launch, it's like,
do we have to charge money for it? Can we just we just give these things away, right?
Like supposedly CVG
is
saying that like
to play.
Yeah,
CVG is saying now they're panicking and talking about putting a bundled game in there.
What would they put
which
in?
Which is, I think that's for Europe, they're saying FIFA.
Oh, God. I get.
And then, like, they're saying that, like, oh, they're going to Platinum and they want an exclusive game for there. And it's, they're doing whatever
well,
they
said,
can,
you said
and I still
like,
don't care.
You said it was like soccer or something, right?
Yeah, FIFA.
Yeah. That's
FIFA
pretty great.
Soccer. Yeah. We get Madden. It would suck.
I mean, I think if they did Dead Rising packed in, I would consider an Xbox
One. I love
packing
games.
Yeah. It is $100 more than the PS4.
But it's really $40 more if that's the only game I would buy with it.
That's some horrible.
I don't think
reasoning.
You understand how terrible I am at this, like resisting things, Matt.
I just speaking
last
of,
week
speaking
I bought
of,
Tales of Exilia just because
you
of,
said
just,
you hated that.
I just bought Saints Row 4.
Hooray.
Yay.
We can play in like 4 hours.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get that on the PS3.
I hear the console versions aren't great.
Uh-oh. And the like frame rate's god awful.
Is that right? Matt, is Imran Khan your only god?
No.
No, it was just the IGN. He's not IGN listening to reviews. Khan, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
We're back, and first off, so we've been playing, or sort of, so Dungeons and Dragons Chronicles of Mystara is our next Illiterates book club game, and on Wednesday of this week, that would be August 21st, 2013, the year of our Lord, we will be recording and or streaming the four of us playing Dungeons and Dragons Chronicles of Mystara. And it might be bonkers. I played a little bit of it last night, and I know Matt's been playing a little bit of it.
Yep.
I chose the Shadow Pro, because holy shit, Shadow Pro.
Fun note, that game was worked on by George Kamitani, who is, among other things, a crazy pervert and also the director of Dragon's Crown.
I can see that. Or Shadow Professional, I don't remember. But yeah, so that's what we're doing. So we'll let y'all know on the Twitter, Nitrobeard, if we're streaming it. Otherwise, we'll be recording it. It'll go up on the site either way. So we're going to do sort of a live Illiterates book club of Dungeons and Dragons Chronicles of Mystara. Thanks, Mark.
Warning, there may be some swearing.
there's going to be a lot of swearing.
Mark says he's a pro, though, so you might be set. And the second thing was that someone that Imran knows asked us to look through the Nitrobeard search queries. And if you follow the Nitrobeard Twitter account, you know, now and again, I tweet out some crazy, weird search queries that have led to the site. So people who go to Google or Reddit or whatever, or mywebsearch.com apparently, and search for something, if they find Nitrobeard somehow, we see what they search for to lead them there. So I'll just kind of run down the list that we've had in the last month of search queries of some of the best ones. So we have a number for people looking for a free-to-play way for The Last of Us. So we have Last of Us free play, play The Lat of Us for free, play The Last of Us free game. So we have a lot of those. Then we have Navy CIS Mario Kart porn.
That's probably not my fault.
It must be. No, you're just responsible for any corgi-related hits that we get, which have luckily died down. We have Nintendogs plus Cats Corgi.
Yay!
We have Rhythm Heaven Fever Porn, which we have gotten a number of times before.
Can you even find that? Like, wait, River Heaven...
Rhythm Heaven Fever Porn. Who I can't is looking rhythm. For this?
Mark asks excitedly.
We have Nazis Are Hot. We have Video Games Companies Suck. I should mention that it's not Video Game Companies, it's Video Games Companies Suck. We have Preteens Humping Toys.
Okay.
We don't actually have those.
No, we don't. We don't have a store on the site as of this time. And I don't know that one. So, yeah.
Like, we're not even in the first three pages of Rhythm Heaven Fever.
It might be an image search. So if somebody, like, clicked on the image, if we had that image on our site and put it there, it might be that, too. That happens sometimes. That's how the Corgi incident happened. We have Imran Khan Bleached Beard, which I think we know the result of that one. Imran Khan, of course, a famous cricket player, also our very own Imran Khan, and also the Jump Cast and the anime Bleach, / manga Bleach, I'm sorry. Although it was google.co.in, so chances are they were searching for the cricket player in Imran Khan.
Yeah, there's still, we don't really show up on like the first like page of like guess results for that either. Although there's just a lot of Rhythm Heaven Fever. You wouldn't think that would exist, but yeah, it exists.
Really weird.
Yeah, because there's just like one lady in there, and that's so.
All right, moving on. We have This Just In. I don't even know what. Okay, This Just In. We have Nitro Black Rhino.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah. It does. Well, I think one of the first free-to-play episodes was about the MacGyver and Black Rhino horns. Anyways, we have Price Yuri Soap. I don't. I got nothing either. We have Nazis are evil but hot.
In hell.
In hell.
Why does that keep coming up?
One of my personal favorites, Tekken Hentai Sex.
Huh.
And then we have.
I'm sure that'll show up because there's a lot of fuck.
We also have Tekken versus sex. Now is that like sex from like a Tekken versus game, or is it the whole Tekken crew fighting against their, I don't know, sexual addiction?
They're fighting during sex.
They're hanging.
During sex. Okay. Baltic Sea ferry sinking. I don't know how that happened. It doesn't actually. I wish it told me which page it pointed to.
It's like ferry as in magical ferry or ferry as in boat ferry?
Nope, as in like boat ferry.
Oh, okay. That's less.
This one I'm pretty proud of. We have Turbo Team Game.
All right. We should make a Turbo Team game.
We should make a Turbo Team game. We should make it horribly creepy.
That should be a really easy license to pick up.
It's like Burnout Paradise, but instead of Crash Mode, he just becomes a human again. Oh, and just like
in the middle of traffic.
Dies immediately. Oh, God.
Yeah, just in the middle of traffic, just this rag doll bouncing around. So it'd be like a match between Burnout Paradise and Pain.
He's like driving along and like bouncing around, and then that rainstorm comes along, and just he just comes out the other side, just this horrible mangled wreck. The game lasts as long as you can avoid the rain.
There's one hit from Canada for Purple Dinosaur video game.
Like Barney.
From France, Gundam Fake. Is Enoch from El Shaddai gay?
Yes.
Okay.
Totally gay. I can't. El Shaddai. Yeah. Everyone in that gay game.
Like, I don't. Gay. Okay. All right. I don't know if they're any more good. No, that's pretty much it. The only last one is, what does toughness do im?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Very good question.
We'll find out.
So what did your friend search for that he thought we were going to find here?
Greg Jane of the Jumpcast wanted to know if he apparently looked up Imran Khan, Brian Belita slash fiction. And
yeah,
it led to Nitro Beard.
Find it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So, yeah.
He wanted to know if it made the search queries. So there may be crazy things that we're not even seeing.
It's possible. I don't know how. I wish I saw them all. I'm going to have to implement deeper search. And anyways, let's go. Let's leave this place.
That's how the slash fiction starts.
Oh, gosh. Y'all been playing any video games lately?
I've been playing so many video games. Me too. There
have been a lot of video games coming out. And just games that I've
bought.
We should talk about the one that
we're not going to talk about that one explicitly. You can't talk about it. But let's just say Gone Home is really good, and if you're thinking, oh god, 2 hours for $20, don't. It's a story exploration game, and it makes you feel the entire gamut of emotions.
Like if you have no problem like dropping like $18 or $20 whatever on like a DVD or like a Blu-ray or whatever, it's just completely worth that.
Or a movie ticket.
It's a good book.
Yeah.
Well, and really, like 2 to 3 hours, that's fine for me. I it's a guided narrative. It's really good. I'm willing to pay $20 for a really solid 2 to 3 hours.
And like, it's only 20. It's like, it's 2 hours if like you just like don't like explore a lot. If you sit there and just like take your time and just because that's the entire point of it. You're exploring, and just if you sit there and like explore this universe for all this little story that's been created inside of it. Yeah, it could probably take you longer than 2 hours.
It's really amazing the amount of goodwill and buzz Gone Home has created, and I'm really happy about it. And I need to play it.
Yeah, play that game, especially if you've been a teenager in the 90s.
Well, see, this is
or in the early 2000s.
It's gonna be weird for me. Well, okay, yeah, I guess
older than that. Because I mean, yeah, I was older than that, and it's still. Getting a lot of connections there, and like you were talking about Imran, you put that article about like making connections.
Yes, Imran wrote an article about Gone Home on Entrepreneur.com. You should go check it out if you've played the game.
Yeah, finish the game first.
But safe to say, even if you're not like a wealthy like middle aged white girl, like you still make connections in that game.
Yeah.
Like my mother asked me about that game because she read about it in the New York Times.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Which is, I couldn't tell her, hey, I also read an article that it features my father heavily, so I couldn't mention that to her.
What? So good job, Steve Gaynor and the Fulbright Company.
Yep.
It'll be interesting
more
to
like
see
that piece.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably not a game you can make very often, and I don't think everybody should pounce on that idea immediately, but it's incredibly well written, and if you're going in there with the right mindset and you're not the kind of person like, I don't even know, where are the puzzles? Where's the objective? Then don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Just go in there with the intention of finding out a story. And that's
Yeah.
it.
So it.
But that's all we're going to talk about the game because I feel
Yes.
like too much gives
Yeah.
too
If
much
you like
away.
give any of that game away, the entire thing just falls apart because it,
Like even just the
yeah,
structure,
it's
though.
such a dense little packet of game that is so well put together. You can't describe
Home
anything.
dies.
Home dies and gone leaves.
So is there anything to do once you've. Well, is there a way to finish it? Or do you just.
There is an ending where
Yeah,
credits roll.
there's
Okay.
something.
Yeah.
There's nothing really to do
What it.
after that. Once you finish that story, you finish. Like you can go and explore and find. There's small subplots you can look into,
But like if you get
but
to that point and there's stuff you still wanted to explore, you can go back and explore it.
yeah,
Okay.
it auto saves literally right before the final
Fetch
step.
quest,
f
cool.
fetch 10 homes.
Yeah.
Great music. Like I guess all that was
Yeah.
all those original songs.
No, well, they're licensed
Yeah.
music,
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, from I guess bands that Steve Gaynor likes or something like
Yeah.
that. No, what I thought was really neat is that, and I don't know when you're prompted with this album, but I saw Steve Gaynor tweet like an image of one of the options, like you could just have all the doors in the house unlocked to start off with if you just kind of want to go through at your own pace. You don't have to worry about, solving puzzles or finding a key to unlock a door or something like that. And I thought that was neat that they included that option.
You know, that's a nice
I
option.
wouldn't
Yeah,
do
I
it though.
would,
No,
because
I probably wouldn't.
it'll break the narrative. You hate to say it like it's guided or linear or whatever, but I think if
It's pretty guided
it
and
is,
linear.
and like if you told the story out of place, a lot of the impact would just be gone. Like if you were just
Yeah.
allowed to wander there or whatever, like you would get stuff that wouldn't make sense, that would spoil other things, and like the emotional impact of the final would be just completely lost.
That's cool.
But yeah, Gone Home is good. Do not worry about the price. It's a couple, like it's like two
Yeah.
lunches.
Like, don't worry about it being a video game, because that's what people are so worried about. This is where things are going to have to go. We have to get beyond this idea that is this thing a video game or is this not? If like the people working on The Walking Dead had played this game first and just had the courage to leave out like some of the like video game parts of The Walking Dead, and I think like this is showing like you can do that. It's not a huge
I
deal.
think this raised the bar on a lot of
Yeah,
interactive
it
fiction.
really does. It's a new it I don't want to say new medium, but it's different. It's like you couldn't tell this story any other way.
You could tell the story, it would be
Yeah, it
different.
wouldn't have the same
And
idea.
this
Yeah.
Oh, you know what would
Like
be
this
a cool
is
way to tell the story? A motion comic.
Yeah, that well that's the height of Western civilization, the motion comic.
So speaking of motion comics, I've been playing Dragon's Crown as
That's a
well.
motion comic? That's weird.
No, it's just sprite based, but I didn't have a good transition.
Okay.
That game is really
Is
stupid.
it okay? So you've played a lot of brawlers. How does it compare to other brawlers?
As a brawler, it's
Okay.
fine. Like maybe it's equivalent of the Capcom 16-bit era. I say probably the closest comparison for me would be Alien vs. Predator in terms of that kind of
That was
speed
Konami.
and chaos. No, that was Capcom.
Konami made one.
Not the
West
same
made
game.
one?
Yeah.
The arcade Alien vs. Predator was
Okay.
Capcom. And it's a lot like that level of constant chaos and speed and occasional
I had
wandering.
a brief lapse where I forgot you were talking about Dragon's Crown and thought you were talking about Gone Home still. So like
Yeah.
it's a lot like Alien versus
Oh,
Predators.
Konami, amazing.
Actually, an Alien vs. Predator game like Gone Home would
Yeah.
be
That would be
Like, where
incredible.
you're like an
Like if you're
alien detective on this predator ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why alien games don't work, is because it needs to be constant
That would be
tension.
amazing if you were like a detective alien, a detective xenomorph on an abandoned predator ship, and like you just like, oh, this is the skull that little Groktar killed when he was five, and I
At
don't
the
know,
end of it,
stuff like that.
you just jump down somebody's throat because fuck, you're an alien. This is what you do. What
Yeah,
down here?
you're a xenomorph. What else are you gonna do?
So here is where Dragon's Crown falls apart. You would think it would be a multiplayer game,
Yeah.
and to its credit, it kind of is, but it's stupid at it. It's really bad at it.
How is that possible? It's, like, it's a 2D brawler. How do they fuck up the one part of a 2D brawler that's supposed to be?
Turn-based 2D brawling.
There's a story and there's linear progression. And so I was playing with a friend, and when for some reason it worked out that she got one player and I got second player and whatever. So when we had to like change our progress a little bit, like for example, at one point a magician gives you runes and you have to use these runes to wake up a giant golem. So we couldn't figure this out because I kept trying to click the runes and I couldn't finish it because I couldn't find where my runes were. It turns out only first player gets progression.
Oh, wow.
Like, you get character progression, but you don't get any story progression, which means that items people give you don't count.
What else did that recently? Like, I
can't.
Another game did that.
I'm sure something else did, but I'm sure it was equally stupid. And, like, this permeates through the entire game. Like, every time you finish up, you have to go to the magician shop to repair your equipment. And you have to do it individually, which is, I guess, just an annoyance with two people. But if you have any more than two people, it's just stupid. Then, like, for to play online, like, local co-op unlocks in the beginning, but to play online, you have to beat half the
game. Did you
just
say Lobocop?
Local co-op.
I really wished you had said Lobocop. I don't imagine like a Robocop version of the Superman villain Lobo. I don't know.
So, like, you have to play online, you have to go through single player halfway through the game, which takes about 5 or 6 hours.
That's just busy work. That's just...
Then when you're playing online, you can... To get through the progress of the game, you have to take the B path in every level, which is harder. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing online, you can't choose which path you're going to. Like, if you're already there before the vote, you can vote for which one. But if you're showing up in a game after the vote, then you're already on that path. So if you need to go on B path, you have to go back and do it on your own if they're on A. Because most people are just playing for the shortest possible path to maximize their loot.
How could they fuck up? They had so much time to make this game. How could they fuck up every single part of the online like that?
If you told me that this like online and local multiplayer, just multiplayer in general, was thrown in at the last second, I would believe you, even though I know for a fact this game was designed that way from the Dreamcast era. Like, it's completely crazy. So, on the plus side, there's a really specific Aladdin SNES reference.
Oh, that's great.
What?
Like, there's runes that you had to spell out that spell SFC, which in the game spell out Solomon's Flying Carpet, but really stand for Super Famicom. Right. And you get on there, and you're racing on a magic carpet through a cave while lava chases you.
That's carpet. Cool.
Yeah, because George Kamitani worked on Aladdin for the SNES.
What a cool
dude.
So,
the actual, gameplay, though, that's fine? Is it exceptional? Is it, on the level, like Treasure Brawlers? Where are we at?
It's not close to Treasure. I would say it's a step below Guardian Heroes. Probably, I would compare it to Capcom 16-bit stuff. Probably not up to Streets of Rage.
Yeah, I would compare it to Final Fight for the PS1. No, Streets of Rage, sorry.
Streets of Rage was for the Genesis.
Are you thinking of... I swear to God, Mr. Bolina.
You're thinking of Fighting Force?
Fighting Force, thank you. God damn it.
Yeah,
Fighting Force is the finest... brawler ever made.
Fighting Force was fantastic. God, I remember you could be the big Brock guy, and you could just sprint and run and jump with your arms out and just clothesline people left and right.
Or that one girl with the bow staff that just didn't want to wear a shirt.
Why wear a shirt?
Why would you?
She just had a bra and her tits hanging
Probably.
Out. Which, yeah, actually, now that I think about it, really a lot like Dragon's Crown.
Really a lot like Dragon's Crown.
So how is the obvious?
The
TNA? Is it distracting? Is it gross?
It's fucking everywhere. Like, to the point where there's at one point you see an art of a mermaid, and the mermaid part starts below her butt.
But there's no reason to do that.
Exactly.
But to
there's one, you meet a nun and she's dying and she has a wolf head hanging off her arm and she just splayed out with her vagina in your face.
But why?
I don't know. You get a fairy at one point, and when you go back to the tavern, she's naked and sitting inside one of the beer cups.
It's I played Odin Sphere. It had cheesecake to it, but it wasn't gross.
This is pretty gross.
They got worse over time?
The person I was playing with was, she's a woman, and she thought all this was hilarious, but even she was like, wow, this is kind of crazy. When the sorceress gets knocked out, her boobs are flopping everywhere. The Amazon's knockout pose is just showing you her crotch.
Well.
Yeah, video games.
Great.
.com.
Like, to the point where, like, I've been playing video games so long, maybe this just doesn't affect me anymore, but it passes the line from, like, this is bad to this is just
Well,
absurdly
not only you
stupid.
played video games for long, but you've also probably seen a lot of silly shit on the internet.
Yeah. And this is definitely some
Yeah.
silly shit.
So
Like, when you finish side quest, you get art, and 99.9% of the times, the art you get
yes.
is like, well, women wearing in various states of undress.
Breasts.
Cheesecake,
Unbreast.
gro like just gross or cheesecake or what?
I mean, there are different artists, and
What?
but you can tell they
Wait.
said like, "Hey,
Wait, cheesecake? What?
you know what cheesecake is?
Never mind. Don't you can
How do
explain it to
you
me
know
later.
that?"
We didn't have cheesecake in Africa, Mark.
Way to be all classes, Mark.
Jeez, Mark, not all of us can afford cheesecake, okay?
But yeah, like if you that game's kind of fun local co-op, but the fact that you have to unlock a multiplayer is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my
That's
life.
pretty silly.
Yeah, and multiplayer, like, online multiplayer right now is not very good. There's plenty of drop connections. If one person of the four does not have a good connection, then it just keeps stopping to resync players.
That's awful.
It's,
Sounds like our
yeah.
podcast.
And like the thing where it's clearly a Vita game, so if you're playing on PS3, you have to use the right analog stick to poke things, and it's
You
difficult.
have to use the right analog stick to
Because
poke
it was
things.
made with a touchpad in mind, touchscreen in mind.
Yeah. It would like so
Oh,
to grab
right.
treasure, you have to poke on it, and then your rogue
So, all
will
right,
come look at it
so
to.
the Imran Khan Dragon's Dogma. No, wait, no, fuck. Yes. Dragon's
Dragon's
Crown,
Crown.
thank you. Dragon's Crown review in three words. Four, five words, you have to poke it.
Pretty much, yeah. And once you get to the B pass, like all these weird cheesecake art you see, you can touch it. Touch
Oh
all
no, don't
the
say
weird
that.
places.
No.
Which, I
No.
mean, in fairness, it's gender neutral.
It doesn't
So
matter.
if you're poking a dwarf in the crotch, he'll go like hee hee. It's kind of funny, but
That's like that fucking
yeah.
witch game where you like funnel the witches using like your touch screen. You can't keep doing this. Japan, will you stop,
It
please.
is entirely logically consistent with the rest of the
Yeah.
game. I'll say that much. But like also the story is shit and it doesn't matter, so whatever. I've also been playing Pikmin.
How's Pikmin?
It's really good and it's really Pikmin.
All right.
Like
So,
so Pikmin.
Pikmin or
Okay, go ahead.
Wonderful 101?
They're not really similar,
If
but
you had
I lo if I had to pick one, just I think Pikmin 3 is the better
Okay, so I
game.
got $50 in eShop credit, and I'm not buying both.
Damn. Big
All right.
spender.
I'll probably elaborate more on that when I finish the game, but it's a sequel to Pikmin 1, not so much Pikmin 2.
Okay.
So if you like Pikmin 1 more than Pikmin 2, you'll like this game a lot more. I've also been playing DuckTales.
Yes.
That game's really, really good, but I can see why people would hate it because if you don't have extreme nostalgia for the way that game was and the way that game played, it's going to be frustrating as
I
shit.
actually really love the changes they've made.
You two are
Yeah, like
literally the
the idea
only
of
like good things I've heard about DuckTales, the remake. Literally the only good things I've heard about tonight.
it's I can see why people would hate it. I don't understand Giant Bomb's complaint that it's boring because it's a straight up good
I think their
platformer.
problem was
It's
that the cutscenes and the voice acting were slow, I
they
thought.
are
But I
slow.
love that
No,
shit.
no.
I love that so much. It's as someone that loved DuckTales as a kid, all that's
Woohoo.
like getting the old voice actors back, that's
I
incredible to
love the
me.
voice acting, but there's like this extra weird delay in between every line. And
Yeah.
they just the pacing is a little off.
They
They
had
could
to
have told
slow it
everyone to
down.
just go a little faster. But
Yeah.
it's a game
Yeah,
for
what they needed
kids.
is
It's a
like
game for
they
kids.
needed just press A button to move past this, and that would have
Yeah.
been
Right, but you can't
perfect.
even skip
Instead,
everything.
you have to. No, you can't skip it. You press pause and then hit skip cinematic, which is like one
But then
step
you
too
miss the
many.
story.
You know what?
Well, yeah, but if you're redoing a level, because there's an infinite lives toggle for babbies, but I keep it in regular lives because I remember the old NES game and I wanted to play it that
Yeah.
way. But you have to redo levels occasionally because you died at the
Yeah.
boss.
So just answer me this.
So.
How is the remastered moon theme?
I haven't been to the
Oh my
moon yet,
God,
but
the
I've heard the
song is
moon theme
so
and it's
good.
incredible. Like all the music is
That is
well done and incredible.
the DuckTales moon theme song is one of the greatest video game songs of all time, especially when you pair it with Crisis Moon Frog.
Capcom was really killing it with soundtracks back then. But yeah, I think it's a really good game, and if you have nostalgia for NES DuckTales, it's amazing. If not, I don't know if there's demo on Steam, but surely when it comes out for XBLA next month, it'll have a demo. So try that.
Wii U? Okay.
Yeah. Which, by the way, don't use a 360 controller for this, because the pogo stick is so finicky. And not finicky, it will work every time if you know how it works, but it requires that the input never gets confused.
Is it like a down strike or what?
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I have it as down on what and.
Yeah, you can turn that off. Button. I mean, you could switch it to what they call easy pogo.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, but.
Okay. But I mean, there's no other. See, this is the thing that always bugged me about DuckTales. In order to do the pogo, you have to jump, then hit down and B, which yeah. makes some sort of sense. Except there's nothing you can do in the air except pogo. So why does it have to be down and B? So
This is where we insert the System of a Down song. Jump, pogo, 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 bounce, pogo. Sorry. It's actually a song about...
I've never heard that in Screw You.
It's actually about an orgy, but...
The easy pogo is just when you jump, B is pogo. Instead of having to hit down and B. You still...
I don't know. I like down. It feels more familiar to me.
I've never had a big problem with it. I mean, you get a bigger problem with the way that the pogo... If the pogo stick misses the edge of the ledge, but you catch it, you just land. And that's, like, one of those things that a lot of people have a hard time understanding.
The hitbox on that is so minuscule, you have to hit everything with the pogo. Yeah. Like, if your foot hits it and not the pogo, it doesn't count.
That's how it works in real life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just saying.
I'm just saying DuckTales Remastered is the most realistic game of all time.
That is, by the way, an amazing game for kids. Like, if you have a kid who is going to play games, you know, they may not know what DuckTales is, but they'll still love that.
That's cool.
Toughen them up.
You should make them watch DuckTales.
Yeah.
Toughen that kid up, make him play DuckTales.
Well, the game's not that hard if you play it like an old NES game. Like, once you've played through it two or three times, then you know the levels, then it's easy.
Right.
There's a lot of like unforgiving secrets in that game.
I do think the bosses don't fuck around.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty
hard. They made the bosses quite a bit tougher in this one.
Like, Magicka, I barely beat her, but she took like 17 hits. Yep. Which is a lot when you only get so often to hit.
But now that I've played through her, I know what the attacks are and I know how she telegraphs them.
Like, once I hit her as a bird, I need to get the fuck away because she's going to blast me.
Yes. Another stunning six-word review from Imran Khan. I've been playing a lot of the Cube World Alpha with my brother. Anyone know what Cube World is? No? Yes? Takers?
Nope. No? Never heard of it.
It's out on Alpha. Just so you know, it's a sort of open-ended, as you might gather from the name. It very much looks like, say, Minecraft. The landscapes are built of cubes, big giant cubes. So it's kind of, it knocks on that 8-bit nostalgia a little bit. But it's open-ended. The landscapes are gorgeous right now. Like I said, it's an alpha. It's sort of like an RPG. As we were talking before about MMOs and, you know, very long character progression, this apparently has unlimited character progression through some system, but it's basically, it's a multiplayer hack and slash exploratory RPG. And it kind of hits that sweet spot for just what I need. If I don't feel like playing anything else, I can load this up and, you know, play with my brother. It gives me a good excuse to hang out with my brother, chat as we go around this really beautiful pixel landscape, hang gliding, climbing giant trees, fighting giant monsters that are roaming the land, finding loot and, you know, leveling up our characters and stuff. And it's really good. It's basically like an action RPG Minecraft, except I should stop comparing it to Minecraft because you can't really build shit in the game, which I guess is the main appeal of Minecraft.
Compare it to Dark Souls. Compare it to Dark Souls.
You die in it.
Yeah, it's Dark Souls.
Yep.
DuckTales is like the Dark Souls of
Dark Souls. Of duck-based video games. If you go to, I think it's just cubeworld.com, and it's really good. I really like it. I think I'll be playing it for a very long time, and there are no recurring monthly fees. And it's really pretty. So, yep, I've been playing a lot of Cube World, and that's pretty much it. The usual Spelunky, Sonic, Sleeping Dog still, Not much new past that. Cube World is pretty.
I laughed at the Nitro Beard banner of the guy yes, sitting in the couch in the rain.
Yeah, that was the good times. Oh, actually, no. So I've also been playing Race the Sun, which was a game that was kickstarted. I don't know. I'm not sure when it wrapped up, but it's an endless runner sort of for the computer, Mac, and stuff, and it's sort of like this abstract landscape, and you are a solar powered ship, and as you kind of, you know, skim your way through this level, these levels, dodging objects and jumping and flying through the air with the greatest of ease, the sun gets lower and lower, so it starts casting shadows on these objects in front of you. So you have to start thinking about dodging the shadows, because if you're in the shadows, you start running out of solar energy and stuff. And I don't know, it's really good. It's super addictive. And it has this interesting multiplayer aspect that, like, if you die at the end of your run, you can send that data to a friend and they can continue it. And you can do this like four times. So they have sort of, you know, four player back and back leaderboards and stuff like that. So you should check it out. It's like $10 right now, and I highly recommend it for $10. You'll get a lot of time out of it. I think it, like, the world that everyone plays refreshes once every 24 hours, so you get something new every time. It's super good. It just feels super good and fun. If you ever played Skyroads back in the day, you'll like this. Mark, did you ever play Skyroads back in the day?
I never played Skyroads back in the day.
Son of a bitch.
But what have you played?
I played Gone Home over the weekend, which only like took 2 hours. Spent a lot of time watching Salty Bets, which is basically what I was playing. I also went down a dark hole with the Steam trading cards, where I put all the trading cards I got over the summer sale and put them up just to like gain levels. And so yeah, I'm like level 15 now. So
that's amazing.
Just playing the market, basically.
Did you fix your Shin Megami Tensei 4 issue? That's totally your fault.
I did fix that issue. I fixed it by going out and basically spending the exact same money I would have saved from the Nintendo store on a memory card. So now I have $30 of store credit that cost me $30 to buy. So. Yay. Hooray. That worked out really well, which is probably going to be either saved for like Link to the Past remake or the Sega 3D Classic games that should hopefully be coming out soon.
They announced Streets of Rage for that recently.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the 3D Classic games. So I never heard a confirmation if those like based off like because they got Super Hang On, and I think Afterburner, and they never said if they're based on the Genesis versions or the arcade versions. And if they're based on the arcade versions, then it should be amazing because there was never a great arcade conversion made of those games. So, I've been actually playing a lot this weekend, sadly.
Cool.
What about you, Matt?
For the most part, it was just DuckTales. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. If I finished up Outcast last week or this week?
Yes, you mentioned Outcast last week. I don't know if you
beat it. I finally finished it. It only took me 13 years. it's a pretty good ending.
That is true turtle gaming.
Yeah, that is. It comes from an era where endings were kind of like film endings. They weren't like, oh, here's a quick rimshot joke and credits for 20 minutes. The ending was an actual, you know, let's resolve some plot threads and finish up. So, it was a kind of abrupt ending, though. And it was kind of weird playing it because modern PC load times are nothing compared to when this game came out. So it seemed to jump around a bit.
Right.
But, good game. I recommend it, because it's dirt cheap.
I should do that at some point, along with all the other fucking games that I have and are coming out and need to play still.
And I was also playing a bunch of Chronicles of Mystaria, which we'll get to.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
I found out that the second game in Chronicles of Mystaria is just like the first one, except way harder. Way harder.
Well, maybe you should have been playing with the Shadow Professional.
Okay.
Just saying. She's a Shadow Professional.
Well, my issues with it are that they took out your ability to stun people when you hit them, so they just keep hitting you no matter what.
That's good. That's fair.
Yeah. The elf gets a spell called Invisibility, which means they won't attack you for a few seconds, but they still block your first hit, and then they can see you.
Oh,
so it doesn't help in any way, shape, or form.
It kind of defeats the purpose of playing as, like, a dude who can backstab, so...
Yeah, because they block.
Yeah, can you just, like, move him behind and, like, attack? Or
you could try. They kind of move around like crazy, and if they bump into you, they can see you.
Great.
It's kind of annoying. I played the elf because it's like... I didn't know which classes to use. Elf looked fun. But you run out of magic almost instantly, and the elf relies on that to do anything. So it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Video
orders, though.
Games. Right, yeah, you said it was a quarter marcher game. Yeah. We'll see what happens on Wednesday.
All right.
Yep. So look for it. Wednesday. We're wrapped.
Wrapped like a...
Dragon's crown cheesecake.
Should probably just stop now.
Dong.
Present?
Yeah.
Woohoo.